You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Well, welcome to another edition of Monday Morning Live, the Facebook live stream, and also the Monday Morning Live, the podcast. Two for the price of one, as we say. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League. And today I'm joined, rejoined again by Harrisana Richards. I say it right, Harrisana?
Yes.
Okay. And also a newbie to our podcast, but not to the league. She's been with us for a couple of years now. It's Emily Kalaszewski.
Yeah, you got it right. Nice work.
I've been practicing all morning on that.
Spelling test later.
So, well, I have you guys both on for a couple of reasons. One, we got a lot of different programs and activities that we're going to have Emily talk about. And Harrisana recently won a major recognition. I guess it's not an award, but a recognition. We're going to talk about that. So, but first, I want to talk to you guys. Before you became coworkers just recently when you joined us, you guys were friends, right? You knew each other through a program that you mutually involved with. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we were both involved in the Michigan Political Leadership Program.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It is a bipartisan program that's been available to adults of all ages throughout Michigan who are interested in getting to know the political process. And what's unique about this program is it brings Republicans, independents, and Democrats together and teaches them holistically about, you know, the mechanics of our state, how we all engage politically, the different economies, and how really we're all working together. And so yeah. I was in the cohort from 2017.
Okay.
And I was in the cohort from 2018.
So was she kind of like a mentor, or like a, how did you guys know each other?
We actually met through a mutual friend of ours at one of the MPLP events. And we have met a couple of times since then. And when the position came open here at the league, I immediately thought of Harrisana because of her proven track record.
Oh, so, awesome.
You know, we always talk here at the league about how we're trying to be innovative and leaders for our communities. And those are all qualities I saw in Harrisana, which is why I thought it was important she come over here with us.
So we talked a little bit about what you do for the league. You're a legislative advocate for us, but you still live in Detroit, so you're still very involved with that, and that's really important to you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I do a lot of different things in Detroit. I sit on the junior board for the Ronald McDonald House Charities. I'm also the chair of Detroit Young Democrats, and I also serve on the board, the Magis Council for the Pope Francis Center.
Okay, cool.
In the city.
So on that program you guys mentioned, I did have one more question on that before we move on to the next thing. That's like a big deal to be a part of that program, right? I mean, it's like exclusive club, I guess.
It's a selective class, yeah. So it's through Michigan State University. It's 12 men and 12 women who are selected each year. As Harrisana said, it's a bipartisan program. So they are selective. There's an interview process that we go through. And they really put forth the best of the best of Michigan's leaders each year. So for those interested, we do have some of our members who might be great in that class, in future classes. We've had some of our members who've graduated in the past.
Okay.
They can just Google it. It's Michigan Political Leadership Program, and that's at MSU.
Cool. That's great. So speaking of a select club, Harrisana recently was named by Crain's Detroit Business as one of the 20 in their 20s outstanding, I guess, young leaders or outstanding leaders of recognition. It's not really an award, but it's a pretty big deal to be in that. They do their 20 in their 20s, and they do a 30 in 30s and 40 in their 40 kind of thing. But the fact that you got named for that, were you surprised, or what did you think when they approached you?
Well, I was actually lucky enough to be nominated by my former colleagues at the MRLA.
Oh, okay. And so it's all related.
And it was huge. I think recognition on both sides, you know, from the colleagues I worked with who were really with me in the trenches trying to make sure and build out this association, and likewise from the community.
And that's the Restaurant Association
yes.
Detroit you're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, the Detroit Restaurant and Lodging Association.
Yep.
And so what this board does is really it recognizes, you know, projects, initiatives, and just the work of young people that they've done throughout the years
okay.
in their 20s with hopes that they'll be able to carry on and manifest that leadership
right.
for Southeast Michigan in the future. And so I've been including an amazing cohort of a lot of people who have done remarkable work. Actually, some folks who I've worked with in other areas.
Yeah, did you probably know most of them, I would guess?
Only about one or two, I mean, I think it's really awesome to see that the people that you start working out with early in your career are really the folks that you're going to end up leading with in the future.
Okay.
And so it's inspiring to be connected with that group of people. And same with MPLP. I think one of the greatest advantages of that being part of that cohort is the network that you have.
Right.
Absolutely.
Many of my friends, I think, already run for office. A few of them are currently elected in local government as well as state government. And yeah. So it's really cool to see that progression.
Well, it's cool. We did. I mean, we kind of saw it as a big deal. We did a lot of social media about it and a blog about it. But you can read about it at Crane's Detroit Business.
Yes.
What was it like to do the article? And they did a photo shoot for you. It was a really nice photo they got.
Yes. So I was really excited. I got to do the photo shoot at the Detroit Club, which is one of the recently restored private clubs that wasn't in downtown the city. Uh-huh. And it was just amazing. I mean, everything in there has been renovated and done with such detail and such authenticity.
Oh, cool.
And so it was really really amazing to be in a place so unique to Detroit.
Yeah.
To also showcase its architecture and its style throughout the years.
Okay.
So the pictures from that are really amazing.
Yeah. Were you guys all there at once or did you schedule at different times?
They were individually done. And so I appreciate that because we were truly allowed to like showcase our authentic selves.
Oh, okay.
You know, we were given color palettes, you know, pick the colors you want to, you know, line up and everything. And so that was really awesome that they wanted to highlight who we are and really show our independence and our unique styles.
What kind of reaction have you got from it?
Oh gosh. Lots of very kind notes on Facebook and text messages from friends. And it's really amazing to see that throughout the work that I've done, how big my community has grown and how big my network has grown. And so it's really awesome to know that there's a lot of people out there, you know, who are rooting for you and also being able to know that there's a lot of people out there to collaborate with and bring change.
Well, that's excellent.
Absolutely. And how lucky are we to have her at the league?
I know.
I mean, this is all stuff that I recognized when I met her. And I'm just so proud as a colleague. I'm so proud. And it's great that we have her now advocating on behalf of Michigan communities.
Yeah.
We have the best of the best here at the league. We all care so much about our community. So to bring her on board and have her recognized for the work that she's done and the work she'll do in the future is amazing and incredible. So.
Yeah.
Kudos. How exciting.
Yeah, I am in remarkable company.
Yeah.
I
mean, talking about community, one of the things, Emily, a big thing you're working on is our Community Excellence Award.
Yes.
And this is basically a program that the league's had since 2007, I believe, to really recognize outstanding projects and things happening, innovations happening in our communities. And you're our kind of a newly appointed project manager of this effort. Tell me a little bit about some of the timelines and deadlines and kind of what the program is and how communities can get involved.
Sure. So here at the league, we love where you live. We love where our communities live. All of our members live, I should say. And we know that they do too. And, you know, it's so cool to see individual spotlight, both on our staff and on our members. But this really focuses on the community-wide level. We know that there are amazing things that our members are doing to make their communities vibrant places for their residents. And we want to highlight those things. And that's really the basis of the Community Excellence Award. It is given out at our convention each year, so it's a really big deal. It's a huge honor. There's a lot of press that's involved. So right now we're in the application period. So communities who have projects that center on placemaking, civic engagement, really anything that a community wants to highlight about something that they're doing that's interesting and innovative and really aimed at making better lives for their residents, we're looking for them to apply.
Yeah.
So any community can apply. The deadline for applications is May 31st.
Okay.
And voting begins on our first round on June 17th. So we're really looking forward to showcasing all of the great things our members are doing in their communities.
Yeah, so that's what happens. We get a pool of people that apply, and then they all go online, and people get to vote for their favorite projects, right?
Yes,
so
which is exciting because it really engages, you know, community members, our members. It's great to see a staff. It gives us really some inspiration. I love cheering people on, so to see the amazing work our communities do is really, really amazing.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. I will say that in watching this, feel free to post your questions and comments in the comments portion. We'll try to get back with you as they happen if you post it while we're live, or we will get back with you afterwards if you post it after watching this after we've already taped. But also, if you are interested or are going to maybe submit for the CEAs, we'd love to find out who's coming because we always get a little nervous in the early stages when we don't have too many applications in yet. So if we get a couple people in the comments saying, hey, we're going to be submitting one, so that would be great for us to hear that. So we would welcome that kind of feedback.
Right. And we're happy to answer questions in the Facebook comments later as well. More information can be found at cea.mml.org. My contact info is on there so people can reach out to me. I'm happy to dialogue about that as well. But amazing projects, amazing things that we've seen in our communities, and we're looking forward to seeing more.
Yeah, and we've had a whole range of projects over the years. Last year was Fraser. The city of Fraser was one for their barrier-free playground, mm-hmm. kind of providing yes. access to all. Hudsonville's one for a downtown revitalization project. We had one community that won for their innovative way to build their new, they called it clean water treatment plant.
Yes.
They don't say wastewater, clean water treatment plant.
Right.
So there's a whole range of different things that you can win for.
Right, I've already seen a couple of our applications centered around the environment, which is really interesting. An interesting thing to highlight. So we're looking forward to all of those exciting ideas that come through in our application process.
Okay, great. Well, Emily, I thank you for joining us. We're going to do a little switch out. Emily's going to be skipping out, but I appreciate it. And then John Lamaki is going to be joining us.
Before you kick me out, though.
Did I miss something? Oh, I did. I did miss something. Now I feel really bad. Go ahead.
Okay.
So Emily's got another really major project that's very exciting that she's talking about, which
yes.
is our 1650 project. Yes. And I'll just let you explain what that is.
So. Yes. So our 1650 project kicked off a little over a year ago at our Capitol conference. It was really aimed at increasing the number of women serving as our local government chief executive, so the top manager spot. We realized that out of all of the managers in Michigan, just 16% were women. And we thought that number was quite low, and we decided we should be doing something about it.
Yeah.
So as part of that project, we developed the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. That is aimed at women who are aspiring to achieve that top spot. We want to provide them with critical tools, critical training, leadership and executive training, so that when they walk into that interview room for their first interview, or maybe not their first, maybe they've interviewed before for one of these spots, but when they walk in, we want them to be as prepared as possible. And we know from the people that have reached out to us, the women that have reached out to us, that there is a host of women who are ready to fill the spots, who are ready to fill the pipeline of leadership in Michigan to make Michigan communities better. It's been inspirational to see. So this will be our second class, the Women's Municipal Leadership Program. We're currently accepting applications. Those are available on the 1650 website at 1650project.org. The application link is 1650project.org/apply.
Nice.
Again, if there are questions, I'm happy to answer whatever there is. People can feel free to reach out to me at any time. This is something I'm incredibly passionate about.
Yeah.
This is a project that is really innovative. The Michigan Municipal League, in doing this, is taking some initiative that hasn't been necessarily seen before, and it's innovative for us to be kind of working in the space specific to gender parity.
And so what's the deadline to apply?
The deadline to apply is June 7th.
Okay.
And we're hoping to let all of our applicants know about who is selected for the next class by early July. So.
Okay.
We're hoping to get some excellent applications. If you or someone you know should apply, please do so.
One thing you told me about the program is a number of current, male city managers have been encouraging other, women within their agencies or cities to apply for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a lot of conversations with people who, with current managers who recognize leadership in their department heads. I think that's important. I think it's important that we're encouraging women, that we're giving them kind of maybe a push or a note that this is something that they should be considering,
mm-hmm.
And really working as allies. We hope to tap, everybody, men and women, to really fill the pipeline with good leaders for Michigan communities.
Yeah.
And we've been excited, and I'm really humbled by the response that we've received and the people who've been supporting it, including male allies who are really hoping to give women, a step up and some help.
Right. Well, the thing I like most about the program, observations of it, is it's very empowering.
It is.
They talk about, because a lot of women come in, it's like, I'm not sure I can do that. And it's like, it shows them that, yes, you can do this.
Right. Absolutely. I think, we talk often about if you can't see it, you can't believe it. And so we focus really, really, really hard on making sure that we're highlighting the women who are already doing this work. We have a number of strong, amazing, incredible women who are representing their communities and serving their communities in such a strong way. So we highlight those women, but also, it's interesting that you brought up that some women feel that they're not ready. We've seen some of that, but also we see women who are ready, who have done their education in this arena, who are ready to take that jump to the next spot. Or who have applied time and time and time again, but haven't been able to get their foot in the door. So this program, we're hoping, helps fill that gap and really ushers women in and makes them feel, as you said, empowered to take that step.
Right. Great. Well, good. Thank you for reminding me to talk about that program.
Yes, so I couldn't let you forget.
No. I appreciate it very much. Well, thank you, Emily, again for joining us. And then we will switch out. Well, usually this podcast does talk a little bit more about politics. So we'll bring John Lamaki on from the League to talk a little bit about some of the things happening legislatively. And now, Harrisana, you're one of our advocates. Remind me again, what are some of your key areas that you're handling for the League?
So key areas for me are going to be energy, environment, and also municipal services.
Okay, and how's that going so far?
It's been going really great, actually. You know, I've been having a lot of support from my colleagues, John and Jen, who've been walking me through the issues that are currently happening. And so it's been a lot of reading. It's been a lot of listening. Right. But
bill printing, as you're doing today, I got to print out this bill.
Yes, we're always trying to save the trees as much as I can.
Right.
But it's been really, really amazing, you know, being really on the ground level for some of these conversations that are really going to influence how we treat our environment in Michigan, what resources are available to our local communities.
Okay.
And also talking about innovation. I mean, that's been really exciting to see what ways our communities are trying to use more renewable energy or to be engaged in how much, you know, land we're taking up and how we're utilizing that land, really thinking about 10, 20 years in the future. And so it's awesome to be part of those solutions, and I'm really excited to.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. So, John, you're working on a couple things that, I mean, I know there might not directly be your issues, but kind of it impacts all of us. So that is the budget situation. Of course, the governor presented her plan a month or two ago now, and the House has come up with a plan. The Senate maybe has a plan. Tell us what's the latest on the budget stuff, and what should our members be kind of keying in on?
Yeah, so it's sort of sit and wait right now is really the pattern we're in. The Senate has almost all of the budgets that they've been working on individually to the floor. For all the individual departments, whether that's, you know, the new Eagle or MDOT or you name it, is all sitting
Eagle
on the floor
was,
right now.
That?
It is Energy, Great Lakes, and Environment.
Okay, so the old DEQ.
The old DEQ,
okay,
right.
Yep.
DEQ.
And the House has been a little slower out of the gate. And not to say that they're doing anything different. They just have taken a different timeline with it. And the majority of the House budgets are still within committee, and particularly the big ones, transportation being one.
Yeah.
But we do anticipate seeing some of those move here this week or maybe even early next week before they head up to the Mackinac Policy Conference.
Okay. And there is like a revenue conference thing coming up. I guess that's important too.
Yeah, Friday's a big day, right? So what happens is, you know, the state agencies get together. So the House Fiscal and Senate Fiscal Agency and then the Department of Treasury gets together every so often. So they did so in January. They set numbers out there to say this is how much revenue we anticipate coming forward. They do that again here in May, which will happen here Friday on the 17th. And that will really be the baseline for creating the budget.
Oh.
You know, what we typically see with that is budgets come out beforehand, have certain numbers in them, and then they adjust going forward. Unfortunately, this year, the revenue projections may be less than what they were in January, sort of tightening everybody's budget that they've already worked on and put out. And
so you're going to have the economy slow down? Or
I don't think it's so much the economy. There's so many things that play into it, whether it's, you know, receipts from sales tax and other purchases. But really, I think what we're seeing right now is just a general slowing of the economy, not in a bad way, but just the way in which revenues come into the state hasn't met the same projections in which we were thinking of maybe 90 days ago or 180 days ago. But I don't want to make that sound worrisome at the same time either. It's just one of those things, like when we get the numbers, that's how it looks. We make the adjustments and we'll figure out how we make sure we protect our members in that setting.
And are many of our communities kind of working on their budgets for the upcoming fiscal year too? And is it hard for them not knowing what the state is doing?
Yeah, so that's always been a big issue. And one thing through the Snyder administration that they did was always try to have the budget done before they left for summer break. Many of our communities operate, you know, around a June 1 fiscal year start. Where the state budget's in October 1 fiscal year start. So providing that certainty early on is really important to both them and the schools.
Yeah.
But our members are a little all over the map, too. It's not real consistent. It's always being June 1.
Right. Okay. Another issue that you're kind of both, I think you said you were attending tomorrow, is Infrastructure Week, which is the National Infrastructure Week. And the League's been very involved with us on this issue this year. So tell us about what's happening here in Michigan and what's happening across the nation.
This is a big deal. So Infrastructure Week is really an association, and is what they are, which is oddly enough, right?
It took me a while to figure that out.
Yeah, trust me, it's confusing to me too. So it's Infrastructure Week as a group, but they run an Infrastructure Week where they do a whole week full of promotions around infrastructure, the importance of investing in them. So Lansing was selected as one of a few locations, DC and Dallas being one of the other two, to really highlight what's going on around infrastructure. We really put together a premier group of people coming in to talk about this, both from the national side and from the local side. So we'll start tomorrow about 9 a.m. over at the Lansing Brewing Company. We'll have roughly 150 people in attendance or more. We'll have a panel of mayors, which will talk about how our cities are really working with kind of a resurgence around infrastructure going forward. Our CEO and Executive Director, Dan Gilmartin, is going to be moderating a panel, which I push for, I'm super excited about. It's really about placemaking as it relates to infrastructure.
Yeah.
But more from the business perspective,
right,
and not necessarily from the local perspective as we think about local with our members. But Delta Dental is going to participate, Quicken's going to participate, and AARP is going to participate. And
we talk a lot about that connection, you know, the importance of what we say community infrastructure, which is like not just roads and pipes, but it's the whole community that makes up that community. And those are all kind of placemaking assets, you know, vibrant parks, walkability, you know, safe communities, and those, and it's important to tie all that together.
Yeah, critically important, and also from the talent attraction and retention standpoint, which is what we want to talk about tomorrow a lot in that, and what those employers are looking for in that aspect. And so for us, it's very important to highlight that in addition to the other things when we talk about infrastructure, right? I mean, I've been working on this long enough. I mean, there are some boring parts to it as well, but very important parts to it, right? I mean, you got to keep the water running, the water's got to be safe, you got to make sure there's no potholes in your road. So that's critical to what we do. But at the same time, there are some very exciting things that are happening in the infrastructure space as well that we want to highlight. We'll also have the governor there tomorrow, a former, United States Department of Transportation Director Rodney Slater is going to be there.
Clinton administration,
I think. Yeah. So this is a big deal. It'll last about 4 hours. We're going to highlight a ton of different topics. It should be a great event to really talk about the things that are not only happening here in Michigan, but nationally.
Right. And now, Harrison, you live in Detroit, so I'm sure a lot of those placemaking things are kind of like a fabric of what's happening down there, right? I mean, it's all connected as far as, you know, the parks and things. What are some of your favorite places in Detroit that...
Oh, gosh. So I'm fortunate enough to live very close to the Riverwalk and also to the Milken State Park.
Yes.
And so I have a huge appreciation for being able to live in an urban area and also have access to parks that are well-kept, that are walkable, that are well-lit. And, you know, I'm excited, especially for conferences like tomorrow that are really going to highlight not just what the state is currently doing and what they've done, but, like, how can we build that intersection between placemaking and sustainability really for our future, because I think that's the conversation. Like, just as there are many amazing parks in the city, there's also a lot of area that folks just don't know what to do with.
Oh.
And it can be something as simple as putting in a park that's walkable, and then maybe you'll get more houses. Mm-hmm. I mean, more people, a small business that creates an anchor for more jobs. And it really does grow communities if you really just think about the places where people can just be and exist and really take pride in their communities in. So it's awesome to have these conversations.
Yeah, it sure is. We're excited for tomorrow and really all the attention being given to that issue. So one other issue that was kind of a big deal for us, it wasn't any of our issues, but I was there, and I know you guys know about this, was the short-term rental situation.
Yeah.
Jennifer Rigg-Turink is our kind of our point person on that. And we had a huge showing of members came out and kind of fought that issue. What's the latest on that? From what you know, from an outsider perspective.
Yes, from an outsider perspective. That's a great way to look at it, right? Well, you know, I think one, first and foremost, you know, the engagement by our members on this issue, not just here in the short term, but in the long term, has been critical to us being successful. You know, as of right now, they've taken a step back. They're going to go in and have a conversation with all parties. They're actually doing that right now as we speak live. and that's part of the reason, you know, why Chris and Jen aren't here today. But, you know, it is really saying, okay, well, where is the middle ground that we need to find? Representative Lilly has been a big advocate on trying to help us find that.
Yeah.
You know, and this is sort of where you know, rubber meets the road, to use a bad transportation analogy, but that's my world, right? But it is really that critical time in this discussion to see where we can get to, where we can find compromise, and hopefully at the end of the day, and I got full confidence in Jen and the rest of us that are working on this, to find that middle ground that's going to work for our members.
Yeah. And the short-term rental issue, I should mention that it's about the Airbnb and the VRBOs, but not just that. It's a lot bigger issue that involves a lot of different things. So That's good. Anything else you guys want to bring up that I didn't, like Emily corrected me when I tried to stop us, so I want to cover my bases. What else am I forgetting this time?
No, I think you're good.
Okay, now, right? Thanks. You know. So our next Monday Morning Live actually falls on Memorial Day. So we will not be here on Memorial Day. We'll be Memorial Day-ing. Is that a thing?
It can be, no. Yes.
So, but we... So we're going to be taping on that Thursday before the 23rd. We've decided to do that live. So you can watch that Thursday or you can tune in on Memorial Day. You can also watch it on then. So the next one is Thursday, May 23rd in Lansing. Monday Morning Live on Thursday, special edition. So that again will be at 10:30 a.m. And once again, I thank you for watching us today here on Monday Morning Live, the Facebook live stream, and also the podcast. Thanks guys for having me.
Yeah, thanks,
Matt. Thank you. Yep.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.